Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We started this series a little over 5 weeks ago, a little over four weeks ago. This is our fifth week. And we started talking about what God is doing. What is God doing? And we talked about the idea of last year, bleeding into January, there were fires raging all over Australia. And then there was a volcanic eruption over the Philippines. And then finally, just before the end of January, we find the coronavirus, and now it's spreading all over the world. What is God doing? And then I said to you that a couple of weeks ago, there was a tornado that swept through Nashville, Tennessee, and destroyed a big part of downtown Tennessee. We all know that the next thing that's going to happen or bound to happen is an economic setback. Even now, offices and companies and restaurants are closing down. I think in all over France, they've closed down every cafe. This is the reality of what we're facing. And we're asking ourselves, what is God doing? We find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, at that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This idea is that God is shaking some things, and he doesn't just do it once, he just does it repeatedly. In fact, it says once more, which means an indicator it keeps repeating itself, and it's a promise. Something that God wants to do on a regular basis, and there's a reason for it, not to make life hard for us, but the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. What is he doing, really? He's removing from you and me the things that can be shaken. And if things are shaking around us, it's probably because it can be shaken that is created things, and the whole goal of this is so that what cannot be shaken will remain. The goal is stability. God wants you to have a stable life, and that is a promise. We went through the series and talking about the life of Joseph. We said that shaking can break you, as it was in the case of Joseph, or it can become the very thing that will cause your breakthrough. As a quick review of where we've been in the last 3 weeks, we talked about an airplane. And we talked about how Joseph had a colorful coat, and he was an indicator of the favor of man over him, his father's favorite. And God removed that or shook that to replace it with the favor of God. And then he went on to have the fear of man, and God shook that and removed that because he wanted not the fear of man, but the fear of God. And we said that these are the two wings that are necessary for us to journey into our life and destiny. That God would take us there, but we need to have these two wings of the fear of God and the favor of God. We continue our story in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. And we said this last week that after all that's happened to him and all the good things that he did, he ends up in prison. But here's what's interesting about the story. In verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph again. It's almost like a repeat of the time when he became a slave. And he journeys to a place that is not a good place, a place that's shaking, a place that's bad, actually, a negative place. And yet the Lord was with him. And he showed him his steadfast love. And once again, we find that he gives him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I explained to you last week that it's possible, or 2 weeks ago, it's possible that the favor of God manifests in the favor with people, but it's not something you created, but something God set up for you. And God gave him favor again in the sight of this keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Notice, it's a repeat of the story in Potiphar's house. He's back in charge again, this time in a prison. The favor of God. Now notice in verse 23, it says, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him and he gave him success in all that he did. He made him successful. In other words, when you look at the pattern, he shakes him, he gives him favor, he's in charge, and then he's become successful again. It's kind of like this plane that we were talking about. The plane leads you to your destiny. But there's a barrier, a sound barrier, that prevents you from getting to that destiny. And then we said that there were two things that were necessary to get you there. The fear of God and the favor of God. This story that we're looking at in Genesis now talks about a third factor. It's called fuel. It's the fuel that will take Joseph to that destiny. Without fuel, you can have wings in a plane. Without fuel, you're not getting there. And so we pick up our story now in Genesis chapter 40, verse 1. Sometime after this, and this is an important thing here to note, time. I want to give you the timeline of Joseph's life. Joseph was 17 years old when he left Egypt, or rather left his place to go to Egypt, and he was 30 years old when he became governor. In other words, it was a 13-year timeline. In that 13-year timeline, 2 years before he became governor, we will see that later, he was forgotten. In other words, there's about 11 years. This thing we're talking about is a span of about 11 years, and that means it is a long time. And sometimes we don't understand how time works, and we don't understand how it works for us, and it actually works against us. And that's what's happening here. Now, notice what happens next. The chief cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense to the Lord, and they ended up in Egypt. Pharaoh was very angry with his officers, and he put them in the custody of the very prison where Joseph was in charge. This is funny, isn't it? Joseph ends up there. He's successful. His boss looks at him and says, "You're doing great. Let me put you in charge of these VIPs." And sometimes in that timeline, we become impatient, and yet we're not waiting for God's timing. And if you're going to learn anything this morning, timing is everything, and that's the lesson to be learned here today. Verse 4 says, "The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in their custody." There's that word time again, because timing is everything. Had it not been for the success and the setup, he would not have been in the right time at the right place. Now, let me explain something to you about time. This is important. There is a time for everything, the Bible says, and a season for every activity under the heavens. Now, listen very carefully. Time does not have a beginning and has no end. Time is a continuum. It's eternal. But under the heavens, time has limits. In fact, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die. In other words, when you are living in the physical realm, there's a time that it starts and a time it ends. When you're living in the spiritual realm in eternity, time never ends. So one night, these guys dream. The cupbearer and the baker of the king were confined to the prison, and each one had their own interpretation. Now, you all know who gave these people the dream. It was God who was setting up Joseph once again. And Joseph the next morning comes in and says, "Hey, why are you guys troubled?" And then he says, "We have had dreams and there is no one to interpret them." I want you to listen very carefully to what happens next. Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." I want to ask you a question. Maybe you're not familiar with this. Do you know the principle of faith called the 100%? This is important. If you're going to manage time and the delays of time, stretches of 11 years waiting for God's promises, you need to know this principle. The principle is shown in this verse. Do not interpretations belong to God? In other words, 100% of the answer to this is God. That's faith. It's not 90% God, 10% Joseph, 50% God, 50% Joseph. It's 100% God. But it's also, please tell them to me. In other words, it's 100% me. Here's how it works. I believe in God's 100%. That's why I live for God 100%. That's how faith works. Some people think I'm going to believe God 50% and I'm going to give God 50%. It doesn't work that way. Faith works where you're saying, "God, I believe you 100% that you're able to do what you've promised me. Thus, because I believe that, I give you 100% of my life." And Joseph said to them, "This is the interpretation. 3 days from now, you're going to get free. You can read this at home." It's a very interesting story. It's a little long, and that's why I'm jumping over some of these verses. He says, in 3 days, he's talking to the cupbearer, "Your head and restore will lift up your head, and he will restore you to your office. You shall take the place of Pharaoh's cup in his hand and his formerly, and you will become his cupbearer once again." And then he says this in verse 14, "Only remember me when it is all well with you." He basically says, "Hey, I got caught up here. Just remember me. Just don't forget me." It's kind of like a little bit getting impatient and beginning to rely on the favor of man. "And please show me kindness to Pharaoh I think because when you've been there for a little, like 10 years or 7 years, you get impatient. I want to get out of here. And here's the interesting thing that happens. Down in verse 23, it says, yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Interesting, isn't it? Who gave this cupbearer the dream? God. Who made this cupbearer forget the dream? God. You know why? Because God wants to shake impatience out of you. Impatience will make you arrive at the wrong place at the wrong time. Or you could be at the right place at the wrong time. You see, if Joseph succeeded in getting out of the prison through the auspices of the cupbearer, he will end up in the Pharaoh's palace, not as the governor, but the assistant of the cupbearer. And so many people miss destiny or the best that God has to offer mainly because of this idea of impatience. We want to get there sooner than we should. Impatience is never going to work for us because impatience is saying, I want it now. The danger we're getting there too early is you will end up getting the good, but not the best. And God wants to shake your impatience to make sure that you embrace the faith to wait for God's best for your life. I have a question for you this morning. How can you guard yourself from impatience? Think about that and take a picture of that slide over there and ask yourself that question. How can you guard yourself? Some of you, I want this guy and I want this relationship. God wants you to be patient. Some of you, I want this business. I want this money. I want this career. I want this. I want this. I want this. Wait, can you be patient? I showed you Joseph's timeline because that's a long time. 5 years is a long time. 6 years is a long time. 7 years is a long time. 8 years, now that's potentially 11 years of patience. What do you need? And God's shaking impatience because he's replacing it with something that is far greater than being impatient. We continue our story in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. After 2 whole years, I love this verse. It says, after 2 whole years. It didn't say after 2 years, whole years. The Bible is being explicit in saying that there is something as the fullness of time. That sometimes what you think is 2 years is not yet the fullness of time. The Bible talks about 3 different words for time. The word chronos, which is where we get the idea of chronograph, or the chronography of life, or the passing of time. And then you have the word kairos, which is the opportune time. In other words, there are certain things that you don't do at certain times. In other words, if your son is 9 years old, you don't want him to drive. That's not the opportune time. Chronos, kairos, and finally there's the word pleroma. That's a different word. It means the fullness of time. When the fullness of time comes, everything is set. Nothing can stop you. And God wanted to teach this young man, Joseph, impatience doesn't cut it. No amount of rocket ships or apps or whatever things you want to do or great technology is going to get you there, you need to be shaken off your impatience with patience. Because that's how you get to the destiny that God has for you. Hebrews 6 verse 11 says, as we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of the hope until the end. He wants you. Here's what the Bible is saying. I want you to have hope. This is the substance of faith. Up to the very end, to go the distance in your life, not just a good start, but a good end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Faith and patience come together. In fact, the way you know you have faith is when you're willing to be patient. When was the last time you checked if you are still in step with God's timing? You know, prayer does that. Prayer silences you and slows you down and gets you to the place of asking God, God, am I still in your timing? Am I just rushing this? You know, the world, in fact, I do believe that part of the reason for all of this is happening is God slowing our world down. We're moving too fast here, folks. And I think God's giving the whole world a vacation, amen? So that we can all seek him and once again ask ourselves, Lord, I just want to check with you? Am I still in step with your timing? This is what's happening in Joseph's life. He wanted to get out of there quick, and God says, no, we're not going there. The fullness of time had not come yet. And if you get there too early, you're going to miss the best. You're going to get the good, but you're going to be the assistant of the cupbearer and not the governor whom you're supposed to be. Now, verse 8 of chapter 41 says, so in the morning, the Pharaoh had a dream, right? And then he called for all the magicians. Now guess who gave Pharaoh the dream? Okay, God did. In other words, it was God who's setting this up because God has a timing and it's not yours. Okay, his ways and his timing is not yours. It's pure and simple. And so in the morning, his spirit was troubled and Pharaoh told them this dream. He called all the magicians of Egypt and said, hey, I had this dream, and can somebody interpret it? And nobody said, everybody said, we don't know how to interpret this dream. It's interesting, down and jumping 11 verses down, go home and read this tonight, or actually you're home. You read this later, right? Verse 19, and it says, but down in verse 9, it says, the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. All of a sudden, now get this. Who gave the cupbearer the dream? God. Who made the cupbearer forget? God. Who is making the cupbearer remember? God. 100% of this is God. He forgot. He needed to have these post-it notes to remember, but he forgot because no amount of post-it notes will make people remember if God's timing is not ready. 41 verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they quickly brought him. Forgive me for a bit here. I got stuck in my throat because I remembered something personal just reading this verse. And for you young people, please listen. When the fullness of time comes, everything becomes quick. You don't have to rush it. When the fullness of time hasn't come, you can push. You're just going to get stressed. You can try as hard as you can. It won't work because it is not God. It's interesting where it says here, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly. Think about this. And notice where it says, out of the pit. I don't know if you can see this. The pit, okay? This guy's in jail. This guy's a nobody. This guy probably needs a good shave. This guy is in a bad place, and yet very quickly, boom, he's up there. Because when the fullness of time comes from God, your 100% is ready. Now it goes in the second half of the verse, says when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, it's indicating that he really didn't look like a governor. It was almost like the Bible is underscoring. He steps in and stands before Pharaoh. Now the scene is set. All things are ready. God is ready to move. Now remember the plane? Two wings in the plane? The favor of God, the fear of God. How do you break through? You need something else. You need fuel. And that fuel is faith. Faith is the key, folks. You can have two wings. You may have the favor of God, the fear of God. If you don't have faith to push you forward, destiny will not break through. The sound barrier is not going to break through. And God wants you to break through that destiny. Into the destiny that he has for you. Now, how do you know that you give 100% and that you're getting God's 100%? How do you guard yourself from impatience? And how do you keep in step with God's timing? Well, the simple answer is by faith. Faith is believing that God is for me and not against me, that God is the ruler of all of creation, that God loves me and he cares for me. And when I do that, when I meditate on that, when I believe that with all my heart, I can find myself not becoming impatient, but operating in faith.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.